Just a couple quick announcements before we turn the podium over. The book table will be open the next session, but we'll close the next session. Will not be opened at the conclusion of the convention. So if there are any items you would like to obtain, please get them at the next intermission. We also have love from Sister Lizetta George, wanted her love sent. Also from Brother Larry and Joyce Young. Brother Larry is a longtime member of the Allentown class before he moved down to Orlando. And one other love from the Young family, Dave and Joan Young from Michigan. There is a handout for the lesson that Brother Rick is going to embark upon. Brother Austin is handling that side. I will handle this side in a moment. His subject is a very interesting one, and we've already heard some echoes. He gave this lesson last week at the Hope Convention, and some of the brethren have commented on what a useful lesson and helpful lesson it was, so we're looking forward to it too. His title is Ezekiel 4, 390 and 40. Ezekiel 4, 390 and 40. Brother Rick.
Thank you, Brother David. Well, greetings and good afternoon again, dear brethren. Kind of heavy subject matter for right after lunch, we have to say. A lot of comparing of Scripture, so we've tried to provide a handout sheet, a chart, to help us somewhat to try to keep track of where we're going. But we believe that as it is a study of a portion of the Lord's Word, we think it is beneficial and worth the effort to try to wade through the different numbers that we have. We find that this lesson has increased our confidence in a portion of the chronology, in particular the period surrounding the reign of the Judean kings, an important part of our chronological linkage. We also found that the study has been very helpful and faith-strengthening to understand the errors associated with British Israelitism or Anglo-Israelitism. That is a belief that God has continued to bless the nation of England and Anglo-Saxons people, by extension the United States, because somehow they're connected with the so-called 10 lost tribes of Israel. Another aspect that's a blessing we found in this study was that it tended to familiarize us better with the book of Ezekiel, in the sense that in the book of Ezekiel, there are no less than 15 different scriptures in which Ezekiel is quoting dates and years. And for us to try to get a handle or a better understanding of what kind of synchronization Ezekiel is using when he talks about the 25th year or the 8th year, the 9th year, what is it from and what is it to? And we find that it dovetails and corroborates wonderfully the way in which we've already understood the chronology from the harvest message. So it brings the book of Ezekiel to life for us. And lastly, we do see a beautiful lesson regarding how our God is such a terrific and magnificent timekeeper, even to the day. And that stimulates our faith in many different ways. So with that, dear friends, we would, now that it looks like everyone has a handout sheet, we would just open by saying that on the handout sheet, I'm sorry I don't have a large one here I could point to, but in the top half is a list of the year of kings, reigns, and events, and it's a partial list to be sure. It's the reigns and events that we're going to deal with today. Then there's a little bar line of chronological dates. All these dates are in the B.C., before the Christian era. And then on the lower half of that bar line, we have A through E on the right-hand side, and these are all events related to Ezekiel. And we're going to be coordinating events in the book of Ezekiel with chronological dates that we've already proven to ourselves in our chronology of the period of the kings. And by working back and forth, they corroborate and strengthen one another, and then help give us understanding, better understanding, for our studies in the book of Ezekiel. We would just say that on our bar line, you will note that the spacing between the years is not to scale. The spacing between the years is not to scale. If we put it to scale, I'm afraid we wouldn't have a sheet big enough to really hold it. So please grant us that liberty. But if you just think of it along the lines of the dating, and look underneath at the dotted lines that bring you down to these little round dots that are connected by straight lines, and we hope that that helps us see the spacing a little more properly between the years. And we'll explain that as we go along. Well, we'd like to start by saying that this study came to our attention as a result of the Ecclesia study in the third volume, in the chapter regarding the restoration of Israel, and particularly along the lines of some comments Brother Russell makes in rebuttal to a letter that he had received from the editor of the magazine called Banner of Israel. Now, this is the only place that we have found in the Harvest Message where Brother Russell deals with Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, in some little bit of detail. Well, we're all familiar with Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, in the sense that we use verses there to prove our equation of a day for a year is a legitimate way to calculate prophecy. We're very familiar with that, and the scriptures are very plain on that. And Brother Russell comments quite a bit on that. But what about what these 390 years represent? What about what do these 40 years represent? That's what we want to focus on. So please turn with me to Ezekiel 4, and we'll read those verses for a basis, and then we'll launch off. Ezekiel 4, verse 1. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. And thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Just here, brethren, we see that Ezekiel was commanded by the Lord to take a clay, a tile. That is a tile that had been fired and it would be hard and a smooth surface. And he would draw or paint on this tile the city of Jerusalem. But surrounding the city of Jerusalem, it would be showed that it was under siege. It was under attack. And this battle scene against Jerusalem is portrayed on a tile. And he's to set it before him. And then he's to take an iron pan, like a skillet, a thick iron skillet. And he's to look at that tile, but put this iron pan between him. And this would symbolize, dear friends, that Jehovah would have knowledge that his city, Jerusalem, was going to be besieged, but that Jehovah was not going to save Jerusalem at that time. There was going to be, as it were, a heaven of iron between him and that city. His city, in which his name was there, and he had forsaken it for this moment in time while the city was besieged and fallen. Now, we would make mention that by the time Ezekiel gave this prophecy, that Jerusalem had had several sieges before this. But in each of those sieges, they had ended just short of destroying the city. In other words, Jerusalem had, as it were, surrendered. There was a partial captivity. In other words, they took some people away from Jerusalem in each of these two previous sieges. For example, if we look on the top of our chart, if we come down to Jehoiakim, third year. Jehoiakim's third year, which was 626 B.C., we read that there was a partial captivity. Nebuchadnezzar came up. He surrounded the city with his Babylonian army. And in Jehoiakim's third year, Jehoiakim capitulated and surrendered. And he gave up a number of captives, which King Nebuchadnezzar took back to Babylon with him. Among them was Daniel. That's how Daniel, as a young lad, found his way into Babylonian captivity. This is what we call partial captivity. There was a siege, but then it was lifted. Coming down one king to Jehoiachin in the year 617, Jehoiachin was king only 3 months and 10 days, and then there was another siege. Nebuchadnezzar came back, and he besieged the city, and he took Jehoiachin captive, and with him Ezekiel was taken into captivity at that point in time. Then the siege was lifted, and Zedekiah, a relative to Jehoiachin, he was put on the throne, and then Zedekiah reigned until the time of the final siege of Jerusalem. So we come down our list of kings. We come to Zedekiah's ninth year, 608 B.C., and this was the final siege of Jerusalem. And this ended 3 years later in Zedekiah's 11th year, when Jerusalem and the temple were burnt in 606. So the point we think Jehovah is making by placing this iron skillet between Ezekiel and this tile portraiture, the tableau teaching, that Jerusalem was going to come under siege, was with those partial captivities, Jehovah did lighten the siege and spared the city. But now this is portraying the final siege, when Jehovah would turn his face, as it were, from Jerusalem and allowed it to be destroyed. And in fact, indeed, that is what happened. We continue to read in Ezekiel 4, verse 4. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished those, he again lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arms shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. So with the tile portrait and the iron pan, Ezekiel was to lay on his left side for 390 days. Now it's been suggested that this was just a laying on their side, Ezekiel, for like an eight-hour day. I think Brother Shalou suggests that. That it was from like 9 o'clock in the morning until 5 in the evening, almost like a business day. He'd lay on his side, but for 390 days, as the Jews who were in captivity would come by, here was Ezekiel there again the next day, laying on his side for 8 hours. And then the next day, he'd be there again. But the tile would be before his face, and then this iron pan. So we think that this would represent that for the 10-tribe kingdom of Israel, there was accounted to them 390 years of iniquity, which would be satisfied by retributive justice in the siege of Jerusalem. After Ezekiel laid on his side 390 days, he was to lay on his right side for 40 more days. These 40 days would represent 40 years of judgment upon the two-tribe kingdom of Judah. And for their iniquities in that 40-year period, and then the Lord would expiate their sins in this final siege of Jerusalem. So we see the connecting point, dear friends. The Lord wanted Ezekiel to portray that the 390 for the 10 tribes' iniquity, the 40 for the 2 tribe iniquities, would all culminate in the final siege of Jerusalem. And that by the Lord's mercy, by allowing this to accrue, by this one awful act of a 3-year siege and the final destruction of Jerusalem, This would atone, as it were, through expiation for their sins. Now, the interesting point is following that was the 70 years desolation. No Jews could live in Jerusalem and its environs. But there is a unique aspect to this, that from the Lord's reckoning, all the iniquity associated with the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes was now satisfied in this sense, in this final siege. And thereafter, the Lord would deal with them as one nation of 12 tribes. Ever after this, the Lord would deal them as one nation of 12 tribes. Well, that led us to the point, dear friends, of looking into the third volume, in the third volume study. And we'll read from page 291, just a little portion. Comment, quote, "We hold that from the period of the 70 years desolation, and especially from the return of the Babylonian captivity, the nation of Israel has been recognized by God as one." On page 295 in the third volume, Brother Russell's responding to some criticism that were written in from the editor of the Banner of Israel. And this editor from the Banner of Israel quoted Ezekiel 4, and he suggests that the 390 and the 40 both started with the same event. And so the 10 tribes were dealt with by the Lord for much longer than the 2 tribes. Brother Russell, in examining these scriptures, says we think he's got a little backwards. The 390 years started first, and the 390 and 40 culminate with the same event. And so the last 40 years of the 390 are the same as the 40 years for the 2-tribe kingdom. We'll look at that a little more particularly, but I'd like to read part of this quote to you from page 295 now. "As for the citation from Ezekiel 4, verses 3 to 8, no suggestion is offered as to when the 40 years upon Judah or the 390 years upon the remainder of Israel were fulfilled. Your correspondent overlooks the fact that although this trouble is divided into 2 portions, it is all represented as coming against one people, as illustrated by the one capital city, Jerusalem, which was portrayed by the prophet as a part of his tableau teaching. Some suppose the lesson taught to be that God's wrath against the 10 tribes dated from the time of the revolt, when they went into idolatry about 390 years before the desolation of Jerusalem, and that the wrath against the 2 tribes dated from 40 years before the desolation, and so on and so forth." And to quote, taking that information, dear friends, the suggestion that Brother Russell makes, that one event, the siege of Jerusalem, is in Ezekiel 4 to satisfy the iniquity of the 10-tribe kingdom and the 2-tribe kingdom, we would then make the simple assumption that the Lord then would start dealing with them as one nation of 12 tribes. Looking on our chart, if we look on the bottom of our bar line to point B, we're really not going to examine point B quite yet, but look across from point B and you'll see that we've diagrammed a 40-year period and a 390-year period. And they both end with the same year, and that year is 608 B.C. 608 B.C. is the year that Jerusalem, the final siege of Jerusalem, began. We will look at that in a moment. If we travel forward from 608 B.C., 390 years, we come right across, we follow our dotted line up, we come to the year 998 B.C., and if we look straight above that to what king it is, we see it's Rehoboam's first year, and that was indeed the year of the division of the kingdom into 2 tribes and 10 tribes. So from the year of the division, we go back 390 years, we come to 608 B.C., the final siege of Jerusalem begins. It hits it right to the year. Now, if we travel 40 years from that 608 B.C. date. If we travel back 40 years, that brings us to 648 B.C. If we travel straight above that, we find that that takes us to King Josiah's 12th year. In King Josiah's 12th year, we read in his life that that's when he began his reforms in Israel. Let's take a look at 2 Chronicles 34, 1 to 3. 2 Chronicles 34, 1 to 3. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. In the 12th year of Josiah's reign, he began his reforms. Now someone would say, well, Brother Rick, why would the Lord have 40 years upon the two-tribe kingdom? Why would there be a 40-year period marked out that this was bad? Look, this is a good thing that started. And we would say, yes, that's true. But we would suggest, why did the Lord say 40 years? Why did he have Ezekiel lay on his side 40 days to represent 40 years, which Ezekiel 4, God says it's for their iniquity? And it ends with this great siege and destruction. Why not 45 years, 60 years, 200 years? Well, dear friends, we would just suggest that, as we well know, 40 years represent a period of trial in the Scriptures. That God gave the two-tribe kingdom a period of trial and test. Would they hold to the reforms that Josiah began? Would they really be converted in their hearts? Well, the Lord knew the end from the beginning, and he knew it would be for naught. Josiah was a good king and did some wonderful reforms, but it wouldn't last. And the Lord foreknew that. And he set aside that there would be this 40-year period of trial from their good reform to what event? The removal of the temple from them and the end of their kings of Judah. So, friends, normally we look at time prophecy and we think of events starting together. And that is a normal pattern. We think of the 2,300 days of the cleansing of the sanctuary starting in 454 B.C. and the 70 weeks of years of Daniel 9, also beginning in 454 B.C. They both started with the same event, even though the 70 weeks of years ended before the 2,300 years ended. Well, dear friends, this is just a little bit of the reverse, but following a similar pattern. It's two different periods of time, but according to Ezekiel 4, they end at the same event, and that is the final siege of Jerusalem, which culminates 3 years later in its destruction. We would like now to look, brethren, at the verses relating to the final siege of Jerusalem. If we look on our chart at 608 B.C., which is, we would suggest, the conclusion of the 40 years and the conclusion of 390 years. If we look straight up 608 B.C., we come to it was Zedekiah's 9th year. Please turn with me to 2 Kings 24, 18. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, that's our 608 date, the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built forts round about against it, and the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. So we just simply work a little backwards. 606 B.C., the city fell. That was Zedekiah's leper. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So the beginning of Ezekiel's prophesying began in the 30th year from something. He didn't tell us, did he? It also began in the 5th year of Jehoiachin's captivity, in which he himself was taken as a captive. So in other words, he was taken captive with Jehoiachin, and now it's 5 years after they've been in captivity. And it's also the 30th year from something. So Ezekiel is coordinating, he's synchronizing two thoughts together. His chronology of his captivity with some marked event, we think, in Israel's past history that he, as a priest, would be very aware of and very sensitive to. And it's a way of synchronizing his chronology for this book. Well, dear friends, looking on our chart at item A, down on item A on the right-hand side, Ezekiel's 5th year of captivity was 612 B.C. We look back across, we see this 30-year bar line that it extends from 642 to 612 B.C. We look at 612 B.C. and we see that was Zedekiah's 5th year. Zedekiah's 5th year is the same as Jehoiachin's 5th year of captivity, because when Jehoiachin was taken captive, Zedekiah was put on the throne. So if you want to know how long Jehoiachin was in captivity, all you have to do is look at Zedekiah's reign, and you can match the two together. Ezekiel's 5th year of captivity is 612 B.C. This is the start of Ezekiel's career as a prophet of God. Also, he synchronizes his chronology of Jehoiachin's captivity with that of a marked event in Judah's history, that is, Josiah's great Passover. If we go back 30 years from 612 B.C., and we look straight forward to 642, that takes us to Josiah's 12th year. Terribly sorry, I have a typo, graphical error on here. I'm really sorry. I know this makes it confusing for the friends. Josiah's first 12th year, that's 648. Please look straight up. That should be his 18th year. Terribly sorry. That should be his 18th year. That's when he started his reform. I'm saying that backwards. Oh, boy. Excuse me. That's his 12th year. Josiah's 18th year would be the discovery of the books of the law and the great Passover. I'm sorry. We have Saul's first year, Solomon's 40th year, Rehoboam's first year, Josiah's 12th year, Josiah's 18th year, Jehoiakim's 3rd year. Sorry for that confusion. As if the subject isn't confusing enough. In Josiah's 18th year, there's a discovery of the books of the law and the great Passover, as recorded in 2 Kings 22:3 and so on. Josiah, in his 18th year, decided to refurbish the temple and to clean it up and to strengthen the priesthood. And when the high priests cleaned up the temple, they found the books of the law, and they had been lost, as it were. And they were brought out, and they were read to Josiah, and he rent his clothes. He was so upset, he declared they would cleanse themselves as a nation, and they would hold this great Passover. And so, indeed, that's what transpired in his 18th year of his reign. In fact, we better reconfirm this for the friends. Let's take a look at 2 Kings 22. Verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought in the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered to the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches there to the house. verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, the servants have gathered the money, and that was found in the house they have delivered into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book. Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes, and then he commanded his great Passover. Okay, so in his 18th year, discovery of the law and the holding of the great Passover. Exactly 30 years prior to the fifth year of Jehoiachin's captivity, our 30-year bar line on our chart. So Ezekiel is coordinating, as a priest, a great event in Israel's past with his year of captivity. We'd like to continue. The next, under point A, we come to Ezekiel's sixth year of captivity, which is 611 B.C. If this fifth year was 612, the sixth year of his captivity, the following year, would be 611 B.C. We read of that in Ezekiel 8:1. Ezekiel 8:1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. So here, the elders of the Jews in captivity would gather around Ezekiel's home, because he was a prophet of the Lord. He was the way the Lord communicated to them. And it states that in the sixth year, but it doesn't say really of what. Well, dear friends, we'll suggest that Ezekiel has already set the pattern in the first chapter for us to understand what sixth year it is. It's the sixth year of his captivity. The first chapter was the fifth year of his captivity. He states it plainly. Now we've moved along, and now we're in the sixth year of his captivity. So a year has transpired between chapter 1 and chapter 8. During that interim, in that year, Ezekiel 4 drops into place. Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, the Lord gave Ezekiel the commandments to lay on his side the 390 days, lay on his side the 40 days, so that this prophecy was given to the Jews in captivity regarding the siege that was yet to come. Turn with me to Ezekiel 20, verse 1, please. Ezekiel 20, verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. So here again, these elders came unto Ezekiel, and it was now in his seventh year. So now, looking on our chart, it's a very simple thing. We notch down another year, that's 610 B.C. We're getting closer and closer to that final siege. But now we're in the year 610 B.C. Ezekiel 24, verse 1. Again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day. Even of this same day, the king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day. And utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, and thus and so, and he gives a parable. So just here, it's the ninth year, the tenth month, the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto him that the siege of the king of Jerusalem by the king of Babylon would begin this self same day. Look on our chart under point B. His ninth year, you know, just following right along, his ninth year would be 608 B.C. His fifth year was 612. His fifth year was 612. This is his ninth year. So we add 4 years from 612, and it brings us to 608 B.C. And in fact, we've already read that that was the very year that the siege began, which is Zedekiah's ninth year. And the siege lasted for 3 years. So Ezekiel got word in Babylon that the very month and day and year that this final siege would begin. That's at the point that we think the 40-year and the 390-year prophecy that he had given earlier was now fulfilled. Please turn with me to Ezekiel 26, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus, or that's the same as the city of Tyre, has said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me. I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes his waves to come up, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus, and break down her tires, and so on and so forth. Here, Ezekiel prophetically learned that Jerusalem had fallen into the hands of the Babylonians. How did he learn it? In a prophetic manner, the Lord was prophesying against the city of Tyre. The city of Tyre had been an enemy to Jerusalem. And now Tyre was exalting itself because Tyre had learned that Jerusalem had fallen to the Babylonians. And they said, oh, now we can take advantage of Jerusalem. Look, her walls are all broken down. The city is burned. Aha, now we can go down and despoil her further. But the Lord said, Tyre, I am going to come against thee and smite thee. And in fact, it eventuated that Tyre was destroyed. But what year did Ezekiel get this prophetic vision? He tells us he got it in his 11th year. In the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came. Well, it doesn't tell us what month, but it tells us it was his 11th year. If we look on our chart, in his fifth year was 612. Now we add 6 years from 612, and it brings us to 606. In 606, Zedekiah's 11th year, the 11th year of Ezekiel's captivity, Jerusalem and the temple were burned, and the 70 years desolation begins. So Ezekiel learned prophetically that the city had fallen. Now please turn with me to Ezekiel 40, verse 1 and 2. Ezekiel 40, verse 1 and 2. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord... I'd like to back up to Ezekiel 33. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 33. I skipped point D in here, and we want to make this connecting link. Excuse me. Ezekiel 33, verse 21. This is a lesson on how to make something hard even harder. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, The city is smitten. So here, in his 12th month, in his 12th year, excuse me, in the 12th year of their captivity, in the 10th month, 5th day of the month, Ezekiel receives a first-hand eyewitness report of a survivor that had escaped from the city of Jerusalem and brought him news of what he had just learned prophetically in our point C, Tyre gloating over Jerusalem's destruction. He'd learned prophetically the city had fallen at the exact year it did. Now a survivor has come, and he is telling Ezekiel that he's eyewitness account of the city's fall. Now here, dear friends, we can look at this verse, I think, in two ways. We can read it as it is in the King James and say it was the 12th year, which would actually be 605 B.C. And a little over a year then would have transpired since this eyewitness messenger would have escaped from the city to travel up to tell Ezekiel this news. But we on the chart have put the year 606 for point D. We have kept it the year 606 because, according to Rotherham's footnote, the preferred rendering is in this verse is that this is really the 11th year instead of 12th. And the American Goodspeed translation likes the 11th. Moffat likes the 11th. Clark's Notes likes the 11th. So there's a strong case that this was really in his 11th year that he got the word from the eyewitness that it had fallen. Now, dear friends, really, I hate to say that it doesn't make a lot of difference to our understanding. We don't like to downplay it, but it really doesn't make a lot of difference to our understanding. It's not associated with a time prophecy. Really, what it boils down to is whether or not the messenger traveled in 6 months' time or whether the eyewitness messenger traveled in a year's time. That's how it really works out. So, but we want to present the friends with both thoughts. We happen to like the 11th year because we like the thought it was only 6 months later that he got the eyewitness account. Okay, let us travel now to the 40th chapter, verse 1. We'll reread this again. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that, the city was smitten. In the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was the frame of a city on the south, etc., etc. This brings us to the wonderful prophecy of Ezekiel's temple, which culminates in the glory of the Lord being restored to Israel. So this was a prophetic vision that Ezekiel received. Well, let's look on our chart. Point E, Ezekiel's 25th year of captivity. Simple matter. His fifth year, all the way back in chapter 1, his fifth year of captivity was 612 B.C. If we add 20 years to 612 B.C., it brings us to 592 B.C., or his 25th year of captivity. It tells us also that this is the same as the 14th year since the city of Jerusalem had been smitten or destroyed. He gives us a confirmation effect. If we take 14 years from 592 B.C., it takes us back to 606 B.C., the very year that Jerusalem was smitten. So he tells us it's the 25th year of his captivity, 592 B.C., and it's 14 years since the city had been smitten, so we have a double confirmation we have the right year. Now, there's a very interesting point to note, that it says it's the selfsame day. What day is it? It's the 10th day in the month that begins the year. He says it's the beginning of the year in the 10th day of that month. What's the beginning of the year? It's the month Nisan. The 10th day of the month Nisan. Well, this isn't the selfsame day that the city Jerusalem was smitten. The city Jerusalem was smitten in the 10th month. But it is the selfsame day that Jehoiachin and Ezekiel had been taken captive. They were taken captive on the 10th day of the first month. And here's our proof text, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 36, verses 9 and 10. Jehoiachin was 8, or a better rendering, 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. Well, we see he reigned 3 months and 10 days. In verse 10, if you look at your marginal reading, it'll probably read that the Hebrew states that it was at the return of the year that Nebuchadnezzar removed him. What's the return of the year but spring? Spring's the return of the year. It's also the end of the year. You end the year and you begin the new year. Well, what month would the 10th day have been in at the return of the year but the month Nisan? So we would suggest, dear friends, that taking Ezekiel 40, verse 1 and 2, that's the 25th year to the selfsame day from the year of his captivity, that here in Chronicles it tells us it was the 10th of Nisan in 612 B.C. that he and Jehoiachin were taken captive, the selfsame day. Now, if we take one more step, if we look at the point E at the very bottom of our chart, if we go back 25 years further, it brings us to 642 B.C. Or in other words, from Ezekiel 40, in the very day of the very year that he received the vision of Ezekiel's temple and the future and the restoration of God's favor to Israel, it was exactly 50 years or one jubilee period of time, all the way back to the very year, month, and day that they would have selected that lamb on the 10th day of the first month for Josiah's great Passover. 150-year cycle from that event that Ezekiel, in the first chapter, had given us a 30-year corroboration to, the great Passover of Josiah. So he begins his prophecy in the first chapter, and he brings us to the 40th chapter with the great vision of Ezekiel's temple and the restoration of God's favor, and he uses the same event important to a priest, Josiah's great Passover, as a key to synchronize his chronology of his book. And he brings us with a 50-year cycle, showing after a jubilee time, as it were, that it would typically represent the Lord's restored favor to Israel in the future and the Lord's glory returning in the future. It's a millennial age picture, to be sure. But we would suggest, dear friends, that this works out to the very day, the selfsame day, as Ezekiel stressed to us. We're sorry for the confusing points that we made. We're sorry for our typographical error. We do pray that the Lord would overrule these words and that it might give us a bit of encouragement to look more deeply into Ezekiel's prophecies and his chronology once we can understand the pattern that the prophet has given us. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you very much, Brother Rick. A lot of food for thought in this. Chronology is at once a very difficult subject, and yet it is filled with the joy of discovery when you start to see certain patterns emerge by putting these dates together. And indeed, when so much is being said about chronology among the Bible students at this time, it seems appropriate that Rick should bring this message to us, which appears to be confirmatory of the harvest message as we've received it. We thank you once again, Brother Rick. The hymn for closing this particular session will be Appendix D. Appendix D.